You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, in an unprecedented move, President William Jefferson Clinton today, without any prior warning, without consulting, according to policy and procedure, the leaders of the Senate and of the House of Representatives, and taking unilateral action with the recommendation of his National Security Council, has mounted a major attack upon the nation of Iraq. This attack comes the day before the vote was to be taken in the House of Representatives on his impeachment.
Earlier today, I ordered America's armed forces to strike military and security targets in Iraq. They are joined by British forces. Their mission is to attack Iraq's nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons program and its military capacity to threaten its neighbors. protect the national interests of the United States, and indeed the interests of people throughout the Middle East and around the world. Saddam Hussein must not be allowed to threaten his neighbor or the world with nuclear arms, poison gas, or biological weapons. I want to explain why I have decided, the unanimous recommendation of my national security team, to use force, why we have acted now, and what we want to accomplish. 6 weeks ago, Saddam Hussein announced that he would no longer cooperate with the United Nations Weapons Inspector, called UNSCOM. They're highly professional experts from dozens of countries. Their job is to oversee the elimination of Iraq's capability to retain, create, and use weapons of mass destruction, and to verify that Iraq does not attempt to rebuild that capability. The inspectors undertook this mission first 7.5 years ago, at the end of the Gulf War, when Iraq agreed to declare and destroy its arsenal as a condition of the ceasefire. The international community had good reason to set this requirement. Other countries possess weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missiles. With Saddam, there's one big difference. He has used them, not once, but repeatedly, unleashing chemical weapons against Iranian troops during a decade-long war, not only against soldiers, but against civilians, firing Scud missiles at the citizens of Israel, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and Iran, not only against a foreign enemy, but even against his own people, gassing Kurdish civilians in northern Iraq. The international community had little doubt then, and I have no doubt today, that left unchecked, Saddam Hussein will use these terrible weapons again. The United States has patiently worked to preserve UNSCOM as Iraq has sought to avoid its obligation to cooperate with the inspector. On occasion, we've had to threaten military force, and Saddam has backed down. Faced with Saddam's latest act of defiance in late October, we built intensive diplomatic pressure on Iraq, backed by overwhelming military force in the region. The UN Security Council voted 15-0 to condemn Saddam's action and to demand that he immediately come into compliance. 8 Arab nations, Egypt, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Oman, warned that Iraq alone would bear responsibility for the consequences of defying the UN. When Saddam still failed to comply, we prepared to act militarily. It was only then, at the last possible moment, that Iraq backed down. It pledged to the UN that it had made, and I quote, a clear and unconditional decision to resume cooperation with the weapons inspectors. I decided then to call off the attack with our airplanes already in the air because Saddam had given in to our demand. I concluded then that the right thing to do was to use restraint and give Saddam one last chance to prove his willingness to cooperate. What unconditional cooperation meant, based on existing UN resolutions and Iraq's own commitment. And along with Prime Minister Blair of Great Britain, I made it equally clear that if Saddam failed to cooperate fully, we would be prepared to act without delay, diplomacy, or warning.
Impeach me? You talking to me? Listen to me. I did not have sex with that woman. Talking to me? Impeach me? Impeach me? You talking to me? I did not lie to the grand jury.
The UN weapons inspectors have carried out their plans for testing Iraq's cooperation. The testing period ended this weekend, and last night, UNSCOM's chairman, Richard Butler, reported the results to UN Secretary General Annan. The conclusions are stark, sobering, and profoundly disturbing.
You ain't going to impeach me. Would you bring in the next girl, please?
No, Mr. Secretary, I am not worried about impeachment. We'll just have us a war. Yeah, war. Bring me Mr. Cohen. Are you talking to me? You talking to me? Impeach me?
Iraq has failed to cooperate. Indeed, it actually has placed new restrictions on the inspector. Here are some of the particulars. Iraq repeatedly blocks UNSCOM from inspecting suspect sites. For example, it shut off access to the headquarters of its ruling party and said it will deny access to the party's other offices, even though UN resolutions make no exception for them and UNSCOM has inspected them in the past. Iraq repeatedly restricted UNSCOM's ability to obtain necessary evidence. For example, Iraq obstructed UNSCOM's effort to photograph bombs. And prevented Iraqi personnel from answering UNSCOM's questions. Prior to the inspection of another site, Iraq actually emptied out the building, removing not just bombs, but indeed, we know that Iraq ordered the destruction of weapons-related documents in anticipation of an UNSCOM inspection. So Iraq, the UNSCOM report concludes, and again I quote, Iraq's conduct that no progress has been made in the field of disarmament. In light of the extent, in the absence of full cooperation by Iraq, it must regrettably be recorded again that the Commission is not able to conduct the work mandated to it by the Security Council with respect to Iraq's prohibited weapons program. In short, the inspectors are saying that even if they could stay in Iraq, their work would be a sham. Saddam's deception has defeated their effectiveness. Instead of the inspectors disarming Saddam, Saddam disarmed the inspectors. This situation presents a clear and present danger to the stability of the Persian Gulf and the safety of people everywhere. The international community gave Saddam one last chance to resume cooperation with the weapons inspector. Saddam has failed to seize the chance. And so we had to act, and act now. Let me explain why. First, without a strong inspection system, Iraq would be free to retain and begin to rebuild. Second, if Saddam can cripple the weapons inspection system and get away with it, he would conclude that the international community of the United States had simply lost its will. He will surmise that he has free reign to rebuild his arsenal of destruction. Someday, make no mistake, he will use it again, as he has in the past. Third, in halting our airstrikes in November, I gave Saddam a chance, not a license. If we turn our backs on his defiance, the credibility of U.S. power as a check against Saddam will be destroyed. We will not only have allowed Saddam to shatter the inspection system that controls his weapons of mass destruction program, we also will have fatally undercut the fear of force that stops Saddam from acting to gain domination in the region.
I'm not lying, no, not even deeper drops. across the blue, the red sky, moon in from the east, the water's so wet, we're about to find a home over there. Yeah. Do you think that Jesus Christ is coming? You got another thing coming up with me if I find it out. I got his name.
Unanimous recommendation of my national security team, including the Vice President, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of State, and the National Security Advisor, I have ordered a strong, sustained series of airstrikes against Iraq. They are designed to degrade Saddam's capacity to develop and deliver weapons of mass destruction, and to degrade his ability to threaten his neighbors. At the same time, we are delivering a powerful message to Saddam. If you act recklessly, you will pay a heavy price. We acted today because in the judgment of my military advisors, a swift response would provide the most surprise and the least opportunity for Saddam to prepare. If we had delayed for even a matter of days from Chairman Butler's report, we would have given Saddam more time to disperse his forces and protect his weapons. Also, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan begins this weekend. For us to initiate military action during Ramadan would be profoundly offensive to the Muslim world, and therefore would damage our relations with Arab countries and the progress we have made in the Middle East. That is something we wanted very much to avoid, without giving Iraq a month's head start to prepare for potential action against it. Finally, our allies, including Prime Minister Tony Blair of Great Britain, concurred that now is the time to strike. I hope Saddam will come into cooperation with the inspection system now and comply with the relevant UN Security Council resolution. But we have to be prepared that he will not. And we must deal with the very real dangers he poses. And its weapons of mass destruction, and work toward the day when Iraq has a government worthy of its people. First, we must be prepared to use force again if Saddam takes threatening action, such as trying to reconstitute its weapons of mass destruction, or their delivery systems, threatening its neighbors, challenging allied aircraft over Iraq, or moving against its own Kurdish citizens. The credible threat to use force, and when necessary, the actual use of force is the surest way to contain Saddam's weapons of mass destruction program, curtail his aggression, and prevent another Gulf War. Second, so long as Iraq remains out of compliance, we will work with the international community to maintain and enforce economic sanctions. Sanctions have cost Saddam more than $120 billion, resources that would have been used to rebuild his military. The sanction system allows Iraq to sell oil, or food, or medicine, or other humanitarian supplies to the Iraqi people. We have no quarrel with them. But without the sanctions, we would see the oil for food program become oil for tanks, resulting in a greater threat to Iraq's neighbors and less food for its people. The hard fact is that so long as Saddam remains in power, he threatens the well-being of his people, the peace of his region, the security of the world. The best way to end that threat, once and for all, is with a new Iraqi government, a government ready to live in peace with its neighbors, a government that respects the rights of its people. Bringing change in Baghdad will take time and effort. We will strengthen our engagement with the full range of Iraqi opposition forces, more quickly and effectively than previously. The decision to use force was never cost-free. whenever American forces are placed in harm's way, we risk the loss of life. And while our strikes are focused on Iraq's military situation, there will be indeed in the past, Saddam has intentionally placed Iraqi civilians in harm's way in a cynical bid to sway international opinion. We must be prepared for these realities. At the same time, heavy as they are, the cost of action must be weighed against the price of inaction. If Saddam defies the world and we fail to respond, we will face a far greater threat in the future. Saddam will strike again at his neighbor. He will make war on his own people. And mark my words, he will develop weapons of mass destruction. He will deploy them, and he will use them. Because we're acting today, it is less likely that we will face these dangers in the future. Let me close by addressing one other issue.
What? Impeach me? Impeach me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Yeah, you. What'd you say? You say impeach me? Impeach me? Impeach me? You talking to me?
Face a far greater threat in the future. Saddam will strike again at his neighbor. He will make war on his own people. And mark my words, he will develop weapons of mass destruction. He will deploy them, and he will use them. Because we're acting today, it is less likely that we will face these dangers in the future. Let me close by addressing one other issue. Saddam Hussein and the other enemies of peace may have thought that the serious debate currently before the House of Representatives would distract Americans or weaken our resolve to face them down. But once more, the United States has proven that although we are never eager to use force, when we must act in America's vital interests, we will do so. In the century we're leading, America has often made the difference between chaos and community, fear and hope. Now, in a new century, you'll have a remarkable opportunity to shape a future more peaceful than the past, but only if you stand strong against the enemy pursuit. Tonight, the United States is doing just that. May God bless and protect the brave men and women who are carrying out this vital mission and their families. And may God bless America.
You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
Breathe in and breathe out from above.
Does it make you sick, ladies and gentlemen? Do you have relatives in the Persian Gulf who are now in harm's way to save this lying, scum-sucking, cute-faced communist from being impeached? The number is 520-333-4578. Tell us about it. What do you think about what's going on today? How do you feel about it? The number is 520-333-4578. Hello? According to President Clinton, it was he cited the political headquarters and said that they wouldn't let them in even though they'd been in and inspected before. If they inspected it before, why do they have to go in again? They've been in the palaces, they've been in the bathrooms, they've been in the women's bathrooms, they've been everywhere there is. They haven't found a thing. Now they want to go back and do it all over again after 7 years of inspecting and hurting the Iraqi people. Denying them the ability to import the necessities that they need to live even a modicum of any kind of a quality life.
Here's another thing. We can only do this for 2 to 3 more days. We don't want to disrupt their holiday. How about my holiday?
Hey, what a good point that is.
Now, the American people are buying this?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, but I'll bet you that the sheeple will not only buy it, they'll suck it up, they'll promote it, they'll clap their hands, and, you know, this could affect the impeachment proceedings.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest thing I see. My father called this a month ago.
It certainly stopped it. Well, so did I. I predicted it would happen right on this broadcast. I also posted it on the website.
Right, and it was soon as everything happened, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, my dad says, watch. In 6 weeks, if he's going to do something again, because, you know, it can't come about. He can't do no wrong.
Well, I said on this broadcast that as soon as Clinton got any kind of an inkling that the impeachment proceedings were serious, there would be war in the Middle East.
Yes, you did say that, and I remember reading it, because I pulled your website up, and it was on there, and this is just downright disgusting. I mean, I sometimes get sick in the stomach at times, especially with Monday's show about I work for the airline. And to find out that my airline that I work for, as people step off my aircraft, they go through customs to get strip searched, this is disgusting.
Yes, it is.
And then to have, especially when you mentioned that the watch this go on without stopping somebody going, what are you doing?
Most people are cowards.
Yes, that is the biggest thing I know to myself, that if you even talk about what's going on today, people look at you like, what are you worried about? And I'm going, when is something going to happen to somebody in your family, if not to you, before you realize you're next?
Well, I tell you, it could turn very serious in the Middle East this time, because Communist China and Russia and France all oppose this. Yeltsin is not in control in Russia anymore. The communists are. And they're the ones who have been furnishing Saddam Hussein with arms and ammunition, and they might furnish him with their support and troops.
Right, and the biggest thing is that, boy, this just doesn't happen to fit the timetable that you've been mentioning for the past 10 years. The rest of the world is completely collapsing. Our economy's fine, and now we're going to start shooting missiles into somebody.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
It tells me this is the beginning of the total disaster that you've been predicting, and I've seen it. I've been listening to you for over 4 years. And everything that I've read, paid attention to, it's coming. And this is the beginning of it. I don't think it's even going to attempt to end. Because I can't figure out how. Because he started something here today that he never should have started. There's no reason for it. I mean, what does he mention to these men and women that are over there or that are going to get shipped over there within the next couple days?
Well, he doesn't have to. They're loyal military personnel, and they will carry out their orders. No matter how much they hate it, no matter how distasteful it is, no matter if they have to die in the process. Unfortunately, that will happen to a lot of our best young people, and some of our military veterans are going to die over there to save William Jefferson Clinton's presidency.
Well, if he doesn't get impeached and this keeps going, the man has literally become king. It's one thing to know he's king on paper and he does what he wants, like what he did today, but to not be impeached, because I don't even want to see him be impeached for most of this stuff.
Well, you know, they canceled the impeachment vote and the debate already.
Yes.
It's not going to take place tomorrow.
Well, they were even saying that as I worked nights, and at 2 o'clock I got up and I turned the TV on and I laid back down in bed. And when I woke up, because the missiles were going on. That's what I heard on the TV.
You know, this morning I knew that we were going to attack Iraq, and I couldn't get on the radio to tell you.
Yes, well, I wouldn't have had it on at the time, but...
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. It wouldn't have done me any good, even if I could have.
Right.
But I knew that we were going to attack Iraq, because this morning the United States government issued terrorist warnings to all our installations worldwide.
That would have been enough to tell us something was going on.
As soon as they did that, I knew we were going to attack Iraq today.
When I tried to call Congress, I must have tried for 15 minutes just to read that. They probably took everything right off the hook because they know that something like this, they're not going to leave the phones open.
Yeah, I've tried several times to reach several people in Washington, and there's no way.
Right.
Okay, let's get somebody else in here.
Okay, well, thank you, and God bless. Let's hope we can get through this. Not too much of a mess.
Thank you for calling. Don't bet on that. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, this is Rob from North Carolina.
Hi, Rob.
And, excuse me, just watching CNN, and Russia is demanding that we stop the attack. Just want to let you know that.
Well, good for him. For once, he does something right.
Well, I just would call and get my feelings on this. Pleasant work today, and seen it on the TV screens that we have there at work. And, I become so outraged. I just had to go home. I had to take the rest of the day off. It made me so mad. But I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, made me sick.
I told my wife this weekend when I was watching impeachment hearings after they went ahead and passed the articles. I told her I thought we'd be at war before the week was out. And I was right. But, yeah, it just really got me pretty mad. And it just really makes me mad that there's innocent people over there in Iraq going to die just because this man's not man enough to step down.
Yeah, unfortunately, even though they say that they're targeting only military installations and installations where they produce weapons of mass destruction, I wonder how they know where they're at since the United Nations inspectors for the last 7 years haven't been able to find one single weapon of mass destruction, one single atomic bomb, one single atomic bomb plant, one single chemical plant, one single chemical weapon, one single biological plant or biological weapon. So what are they bombing?
Just whatever the missiles hit, I guess.
I'll tell you what they're bombing. They're bombing people. People, people, living people who are doing nothing more than their job in some building or somewhere, and all of a sudden they're just blown into smithereens for nothing to promote the power of the one world government centered in the United Nations. We are not the world's police force. We have no business doing this. Iraq is not a threat to the United States and never has been, by the way, and we gave them every single weapon that they had. We put Saddam Hussein in power. We armed them. We gave them weapons of mass destruction, and we sicked them on Iran because at the time, Iran was our enemy.
Also, as I was driving home from work today, coming down the interstate, I just imagined how would I feel if I was coming down the interstate and there's bombs going off around me. As some of those people over there are doing right now.
Yeah. What if some other nation decides that they're going to be the police force for the world, and they're going to dictate to the United States what we're supposed to do? What if communist China decided to do that, and all of a sudden we found missiles coming down out of the sky?
Well, they said I was watching NBC, local NBC affiliate here, while I was listening to a previous caller, and they were saying that the strategy out of the White House was, they've been sending the arms inspectors in there for the last few years, and it hasn't worked, so now their strategy is to do a military disarmament.
One thing that really makes me sick, too,
is they talk about this Muslim holiday, and how they're only going to get these bombings out of the way before that starts.
as if the people are going to leave the country in ruin, here, now you're celebrating the holiday.
I really think there might be something really bad happen here on Christmas, too.
Well, there certainly could be.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get off of here with someone else call, but good talking to you, Bill.
Go to my website and read Majesty 12. Thank you for calling. Go to our website, harvest-trust.org, and read Majesty 12 again, ladies and gentlemen. Read it again. You will be amazed at what was predicted there. You will be absolutely amazed. They have to have a reason for more terrorist attacks in the United States in order to disarm the American people. I'm telling you, they're coming. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Jeffrey in New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey.
First of all, I'm not surprised at what happened. As far as I'm concerned, when you're dealing with a war where the communists control both sides of the line, where Saddam Hussein is an ally and has been an ally of the communist forces for years, where Bill Clinton is an ally of Red China, what did you expect him to do after having seen the film Wag the Dog and other similar items? Second of all, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not surprised that the impeachment thing was canceled. Knowing what's going on inside the Congress, I would figure that the enemies of ours would pull a stunt like that to have an excuse to stop the impeachment from taking place so the American people could be deflected. As far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is abominable and disgusting on both sides of the line, and it's about time that the American people, well, what's left of them, yeah, I hate to say it, had better realize that they're being taken for suckers by all these items, and that the real object of this war is the supremacy of the New World Order, as Richard Butler, the head arms inspector, stated on the BBC World Service on November 17 or thereabouts, that if they can't control Saddam Hussein, then the whole world disarmament program is jeopardized. I'm paraphrasing him, but that's the situation as I see it from here. And by the way, the people in New Orleans did not vote for that property service tax that Morial was trying to promote. So now the city's in a real crisis. The police department's being stopped from increasing, and we're beginning to see murders again taking place in housing projects.
Okay, thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 520-333-4578.
Zero out, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing great. This is Clayton in St. Louis.
Hello, Clayton.
I tell you what. My opinion is I think the Secret Service ought to march into the White House.
Be careful what you say or they'll march into your house.
I think they ought to put the handcuffs on them and throw them in the pokey. And I think they ought to put them on an international war crimes tribunal and try them for murder and all kinds of crimes against humanity.
Absolutely.
It's just incredible what's taking place here. It's very transparent. I woke up this morning and the first thing I did is, I got cleaned up and I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh. And he told everybody, 11 o'clock Central Time, he said, we're going to attack Iraq this afternoon. It's going to be whack the dog and they're going to postpone the impeachment vote. And it's exactly what happened. And I've listened to you over the years, and you, even though I know some other people on shortwave call you names, I see that you have this uncanny habit of being right on everything you say.
That's why they call me names. They work for the other side. Their job is to keep you spinning around in little cul-de-sacs chasing your own tail. They don't want you to know the truth.
You know, what's going to happen now is... they're doing this right before Ramadan, and basically Bill is saying happy Ramadan to the Arabs.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
Yeah.
That was the most incredible thing I've ever heard anybody say. We're going to bomb you for 3 days so that, you know, these 3 days so that when your Ramadan holiday starts on Saturday, we can stop and you can go ahead and enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, well...
All the dead people in the streets, their homes blown up, their businesses gone... They're going to enjoy a holiday? I don't think so.
I think the Arabs are going to say Happy Hanukkah to Israel, if you know what I mean.
I think they just might say Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and up yours to a lot of people. And I got to tell you something. If I was one of them right now, you know me, I would be plotting right now how to get even.
Oh, I...
That's exactly what I would be doing. I would be recruiting people... I would be getting together the forces to make sure that that they thought twice before they ever came and blew up my home or my country ever again.
Now you've got the Arab world, you've got Russia and China united against us for what we've done. And remember, Osama bin Laden's still out there and he owes us. And if we don't think he can do it, we're kidding ourselves.
Do you know that he was created by the Central Intelligence Agency when Afghanistan was fighting Russia?
Right.
Do you know that he was trained by the CIA?
Right.
That he was shown how to conduct guerrilla warfare operations and how to conduct terrorism against the Russians by the Central Intelligence Agency? We created this guy. We created Saddam Hussein. This whole thing is our own creation.
That's right. We create these boogeymen, and then we go out and tear everything up and kill everybody to try to, you know, supposedly destroy the monsters we created, which we know what it's all about. It's about the New World Order.
Yeah, have you ever seen the video Late Great Planet Earth?
Hal Lindsey?
Yeah. Have you ever seen it? Late Great Planet Earth is the name of it.
I read the book.
Go get the video and watch it.
Okay.
And remember when it was made, long, long ago.
Yeah, what, about 25
years? You'll see Saddam Hussein in that video portrayed as the Antichrist.
Yeah, I'm asking, do you think he fancies himself as the reincarnation of King Nebuchadnezzar?
He was created by George Bush and the CIA to fulfill this particular role, to be the boogeyman, to create the power in the United Nations to reach out and slap down nation states.
Huh.
He didn't think this up.
Wow. I tell you what, it's incredible. So, I mean, what is the end game of all? To make slaves of all of us?
Yes, exactly. Absolutely correct. To disarm the entire world and create one world government. You see, we got to make sure that even if we blow Saddam Hussein up tonight, that another one doesn't spring up. We have to put power in the United Nations, and there has to be a world police force to take care of these kinds of people.
Well,
why do you think they didn't kill him during Desert Storm? Why do you think nobody's killed him since?
Well, that's true.
Heck, they killed John F. Kennedy on Elm Street. They can't kill Saddam Hussein.
Do you think there's...
That was the nightmare on Elm Street.
There's any way that we can stop this?
Well, they stopped it one before. A bunch of students stopped it, as a matter of fact. When Clinton wanted to go to war in the Middle East, remember that last year? He wanted to go to war in the Middle East, and everybody in the country said, no, we got no business going to war in the Middle East. So he sent out all his little puppets to the universities across the country to have panels and debates to promote a war in the Middle East so Clinton could have his war. And the students stood up and said no. And it was embarrassing because it was on television nationwide.
Yeah,
that's why there was no warning this time.
Yeah, I remember there were three scientists at that university, Sandy Berger, Bill Cohen, and Madeline Not-So-Bright. And I remember those students shouting them down and telling them, you know, don't do it, don't do it.
It's a racist war. It's a racist war.
You know,
it has nothing to do with the United States whatsoever. Nothing.
I have more to think it has to do with Zionism and those kind of folks than anything else, Bill.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
If you look at who surrounds our king in Washington, D.C., they're all of one particular bent, if you know what I mean.
Well, listen, I don't mince words, and I don't believe in racism. And I don't believe that there's one religion that's called Jews that are trying to take over the world. I do believe there's a movement called Zionism that's aim is exactly that. And I got to tell you this. Most Zionists are Christians, not Jews.
You're right, buddy. We've fallen into it that they're God's chosen people, and we think they're God, and what they say is gospel, and if you dare say anything against them, you know, they stick those labels on you, and boy, before you know it, the ADL is burning a fire under your butt, and, you know, you wish you never opened up your mouth. That's the way they operate, Bill.
Well, that's the way Zionism operates.
Right.
Most Jews are not Zionists.
Yeah.
Get that Jew word out of your head. Most Jews are not Zionists, and most Jews who live in this country are honorable, decent, good American patriots. Now you have Zionist Jews, you have Zionist Christians, you have Zionist Christian identity, you have Zionist Mormons, you have people who are Zionists themselves who happen to belong to one ethnic or racial group or one church. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the whole church or the whole race or the whole people or the whole religion are involved in it. They're not.
No, I'm just specifically talking about the Zionists who are in the New World Order movement.
Well, I know exactly what you were talking about, so don't try to mince words with me.
Well, you know, we're on radio. I'm talking about the Cohens and the Burgers and the Albrights.
And the Jerry Falwells and the Pat Robertsons,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You're right.
The George Bushes.
You're right, buddy. You're all the way right. Brother, it's good listening to you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Hi.
This is pretty scary, and it's unbelievable. It's almost surreal what's going on now.
Well,
make any sense.
It would to me if I were surprised by it. But I knew it was coming. I predicted it. I said it would happen. And I said the reason why it would happen. And here it is happening. So, you know,
it's unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening to our country. On the eve of Mr. Clinton's impeachment, he's got the audacity to pull off this move. Somebody's sending us a message, and I don't like the message, Bill.
I don't like the message either. You know what the message is? If you're stupid, you're cattle, you're nothing but animals that don't have any brains, we don't give a damn about you.
That's it, Bill. These people are so arrogant. And this president his impeachment. Now he's going to kill innocent people in Iraq. This is, it's so surreal. It makes no sense. Anybody with half a brain has got to be just in a daze. It's just this unbelievable turn of events here. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I think everybody should start writing letters. They should start calling every radio talk show in this country. They should start calling CNN when they have their call in, and they should make it their job from now on to stop this nonsense. Bring our boys and girls home. Bring them home. Keep them out of there. We don't belong having a war in the Middle East. And impeach this lying scumbag guy that can't keep his pants zipped up and doesn't know how to tell the truth, never has known how to tell the truth. And on top of that, he's a damn communist.
It's terrible, Billy. It makes me wonder if he's got so much power to pull off this this move, or is there going to be a coup in our own government to get rid of this guy? Because he's not going to go down. He's gonna kill innocent people and start a war, so he doesn't leave office.
Well, I don't know, but I've heard rumblings from some very powerful military personnel that scares the hell out of me too.
It is scary, Bill. It really is. This president is very scary. You might be the most dangerous man on radio, but this President Clinton is the most dangerous man on planet Earth. Period.
Well, yes, not only him, but whoever's behind him pulling the strings that wants to keep him in power.
Right, and now the war machine seems to be obeying his every word, and that makes him, you know...
Well, they have to. It's our military services who are sworn to obey orders.
Right, but this is really scary that this guy is, you know, got his finger on the button there. We're all, you know, all the sheeple are at his mercy.
Yeah. Don't blame the military personnel. I was in the military for many years, and I can tell you right now, you will find no more honorable or honest people on the face of this earth than the officers and NCOs in our military forces. And that's the truth. You can take that to the bank.
That's true, Bill, but I don't like I don't like what's coming down from the White House here. I don't like it at all.
No, nobody does.
All right, Bill. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
This evening I was out front putting a new coat of varnish on the front door. And
can you talk a lot louder, please?
Yes. This evening we're out redoing the front door on the house and had CNN on it. Oh, well, not CNN, but old Sam Donaldson was on there with Peter Jennings, and all of a sudden they were talking about the a demonstration that was taking place right there over by Blair House, and the fire and stuff, and old Sam said he was going to take a run over there and see what happened, and as far as I know, they never showed that again on the...
They're not telling us what happened. There's a demonstration there, and a car that was not supposed to be in the security area was driven into the security area and set on fire.
Okay.
And the demonstrations are continuing. They put the fire out, but the major news networks are not covering the demonstration or what happened with the fire in the car.
Yeah, I was busy there for a while, but I never did see anything else about it on there, and I just wanted to throw that in there. And wanted to just say right on, Bill, with everything you're doing, man. I've been listening to you since probably late 92. It broke my heart, your last broadcast back there when you went off that other channel. And I just wanted to wish you and your wife and your two little girls the peace and love of Christmas this season. And just keep doing the good job, man. And thanks for going to wear your uniform with our country during your service to our country. And that's about it.
Good night, and thank you for your call.
Yes, sir.
520-333-4578 is the number. You know, this is really sad that we have to even engage in this kind of a broadcast tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
I need you to talk a lot louder.
Okay. How are you, like that.
Absolutely.
And those are the ones that are pulling the strings. And I wanted to just mention something to you. See, you know, as we begin to say, well, you know, this looks like a Zionist this or we look at Orwell or these other people, I'm around people of that are, shall we say, supposedly intelligent in universities around D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at these people as cold, bloodless intellects.
Yes.
In fact, several of them talk several hours before you do on the same station, which we won't get into since it's your station.
Why not? There's no sacred cows here.
But
Alan Weiner is my friend, but he knows me. The truth will come out in my broadcast. I don't care if it is on his station, so you can name names if you want to.
Well, I don't know. It was some guy with a high-pitched voice that just sickening. But anyway, the point I want to make is these people that are intelligent, for instance, today when I mentioned that this is something right out of Wag the Dog, and this person who was a high government official, fairly high, said, oh, no, the president would never do that. It's too obvious. I mean, do you see how conditioned these people are?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is somebody that's supposedly intelligent.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the intelligentsia of this country is rotten to the core.
Yes, they are, but they're rotten to the core because they belong to the organizations and the philosophy that is promoting one world government. They belong to what's known as Illuminism.
Yep.
Illuminism exploits movements like Zionism. In most cases, if you study the history of the movements, you find that Illuminism created these things.
Isn't that interesting? Like you pointed out,
Hitler was created by Illuminism. He was a member of the Thule Society. If you go back and study his rise to power, you see that he was guided by the occult heads of the Thule Society in Germany. He didn't, no. That's because he's playing a part in a play on the world stage, and it's not time for the curtain to come down yet.
Yes, they probably all meet for coffee afterwards. I was going to just mention another thing that I had heard. Just here we are talking about weapons of mass destruction. Israel, as we know, has nuclear capability.
Yes, they do.
And recently in an article, the article said that they were developing chemical warfare.
That article is a fraud.
Oh, was it really?
We researched it. It is not true.
Because I was going to say,
that was planted to promote more division and hatred amongst different groups in this country. It is a lie.
That actually got on national.
I know, but it's a lie. It's not true.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to hear that.
It is not true at all. But I will tell you this, that the United States government has at times had programs at Fort Detrick, Maryland, in their biological weapons program to try to find particular biological or chemical agents that would attack a certain race of people.
I wonder if they were successful.
I have no idea.
Because that seems like a very difficult thing to do. And you know what? It would go against our multicultural diverse attitude, wouldn't it, to try and separate a group out? Anymore?
No, because the Illuminists actually believe that the Anglo-Aryan race is the superior race and that their task in the world is to help the other inferior races in their evolutionary development and to eliminate any races which cannot progress along the evolutionary path properly and destroy the useless eaters of the world.
Well, you know, that's going to be a problem because from all these IQ and tests that they've been doing, they've been finding that the Orientals are more intelligent than the Anglo-Saxons.
They don't listen to that. Care about it. Have you ever had an argument or any kind of a discussion with any of these people to try and set them straight about it? They've got all kinds of rationalizations and things that they quote, and one of their favorite is that the Teutons, or the German race, was the father of civilization. the truth is, the German tribes were running around naked, living in mud huts when the Egyptians were building the pyramids and the Romans ruled the world.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's not even talking about the 2,000-year-old civilization of China.
Absolutely. That is a very good point.
So they're very misled. In fact, I would say that they got more than a couple of screws loose, and there ain't no cans in their six-pack.
But you know, the problem is, we have the power now. And whoever has the power and the guns, unfortunately, they will. You know, it just seems inevitable to me that there must be some type of a separation, and there must be eventually, and I'm not, some type of bloodshed. I mean, I can't imagine anything else. Now, it might be a couple generations from
now. It's happening right now.
Yes, but I mean, more of a...
It's happening right now.
Yes.
There's never a day goes by that there isn't bloodshed in the world. Yes. It's the nature of humanity.
That's exactly right. Well, thank you, sir. Let somebody else call and keep up the good work.
You're welcome.
And by the way, I like the beginning of your show today. Very good.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I do my best shows under pressure. 520-333-4578, unfortunately. I do my best shows under pressure. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
When you need some support, and I'm trying to come up with some ideas to help you support the show, and I notice when you're trying to gain some support, the calls are a little slow, but on nights when you're fielding popular opinions, no one seems to have a problem calling in.
Well, usually when we have problems with people not calling, it's not that people aren't calling, it's that there's something wrong with the phone system.
Okay.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, I noticed that one night when I was trying to call in and the phone was busy and you were having a trouble taking a call. But all the same, I wanna ask all of our friends out there to remember the good work that you're doing and pull together and support this program, because it's one of the last of the truthful shows out there. And I want to ask everybody to remember this, and with this new year coming up, let's all pull together and support Bill and get this thing going the way it should be.
Well, thank you. That was very nice of you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. 520-333-4578 is the number. And while you're thinking about supporting us, don't forget to make a donation for the television project. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello, Walt.
I'll tell you what, I've been listening on to one of my ham rigs here, and when you first came on around 7 o'clock, you was a S9, and this station, I don't know where it was, down there in Cuba or something, was 30 over S9. You talk about trying to wipe you out, but I could still pick you up because I was picking you up on a 40-meter dipole.
Well, good.
But I want to tell you about a scenario, what I think. You know, that trip that he took over there to the Middle East.
Yeah, and they mounted their attack the exact next day.
I'll bet you what, it wouldn't surprise me if old Saddam himself was over there with them. They was all patting each other on the back, planning out how they was going to pull this thing off. You know that?
Well, I doubt that, but I bet you Netanyahu was telling Clinton that it would help his peace incentive if the United States would attack Iraq. I'll bet you anything that those kinds of things were said.
Well, not only that, now if he gets into trouble here with impeachment things and it doesn't look good for him, he might have some kind of deal in there to pull something off on the United States, you know?
Well, I've told you that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but there's going to be more and bigger terrorist attacks in the United States. They have to disarm the American people. And so far, we haven't bought it.
Back on again. How long have you been back on?
I never left the air.
Okay,
I've never left. Okay. I just go from station to station or satellite to station to whatever, but I never leave.
Well, I'll tell you what, it seems like there's a lot of interference a lot of times around this frequency. They try to keep you from being heard. But
there's always interference around whatever frequency I ever broadcast on, because William Clinton considers me the most dangerous radio host in America, and when he says that, he really means the world, and they don't want people to hear what I have to say or what my listeners have to say. If the outrage in America was strong enough, it would end tonight.
Uh-huh. That's true.
If a scream would go up throughout this country, across this nation, it would end tonight.
Yeah.
Because, you see, he's so concerned about how history's going to look at him.
Oh,
he wants to be a popular president.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to be liked. Poor little fella didn't get enough love when he was a baby. He wants to be liked. He has this need to be liked and loved, and that's why he's a psychopathic personality, to tell you the truth. He has no conscience, and he becomes whatever you want him to be to whomever he's standing in front of at the time. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. He also thinks sex is love. You know, when you understand that this man is starved for love and affection, you can understand why he does what he does. He thinks sex is love. 520-333-4578. And I'm here to tell you, sex has nothing whatsoever to do with love. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. I need you to talk a lot louder.
Oh, okay.
Put the receiver right in front of your mouth and yell at me.
Okay, Chuck. Hey, what I wanted to tell you about is I wanted to know if you happened to see that new book where...
Wait a minute. Who's Chuck?
I'm sorry. I mean, Bill. it goes along with that series of books where you were talking about the Holy Blood and Holy Grail and Bloodline of the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
The latest one is... this guy named Tim Cohen wrote a book called The Antichrist and the Cup of Tea, and it follows the English throne's bloodline and all their claim to the Merovingian crap.
Yeah, I know. Merovingian.
Yes. Yes, it just goes into that a lot deeper and how it's like they're all vying for position, you know.
They got more con games running on the poor people of the world than even those of us who know what's going on could keep up with.
Right. I read this. And them wrote, you know, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and the Temple of Fudge and all that. And then the latest one you were reading from a few months ago, Bloodline of the Holy Grail, about the Stuarts. And then, like I said, this one kind of follows up. And I guess this guy's kind of theory is that Prince Charles is the Antichrist. But, you know, they're all in that, you know, it's pin the tail on the Antichrist, I guess. But I just wondered if you had managed to catch that. Yes.
I think it's pin the tail on the sheeple is what it really is.
Well, that's true, too. All right, I won't hold you up. I just wanted to mention that book to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next time you call, please don't call me Chuck. I am not the socialist porno film maker, Chuck Harder. And that's who you were thinking I was there for a couple of minutes. Chuck Harder's a socialist. He's admitted it on his broadcast on many occasions. He said, I believe in socialism. He said it over and over and over and over and over again. I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in it at all. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
I was wondering when a woman was going to call.
You know, I heard on the TV the other day where Johnny Chung, the one who gave the campaign contributions to the Gore and Clinton campaign, was found guilty.
Yes, he was.
Wouldn't that be seditious treason?
Well, I don't know. Depends upon what he was found guilty of and whether or not Clinton and Gore were a party to whatever it was that he's guilty of.
Well, that would be breaking down the laws of the land, and I believe they don't want that to come out either.
No, they don't.
But we've been listening, and we agree with everything you say, and we were watching TV, and for a few minutes, we had to shut it off. We couldn't stop laughing how phony it was. They showed one guy standing there with someone threw him a helmet, and he put it on, and it was just so phony and so staged, and they just keep showing you the same clip over and over and over.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what really bothered me when I put it up on the satellite late this afternoon and started watching it? I'll tell you something. I could swear that some of the clips that they were showing were from Desert Storm.
That's exactly what I said. In fact, we were going to dig through our box of tapes and start matching them all up because they look so phony and they look so familiar. And even some of the targets they were showing, some of the targets looked the same. But they were showing on one target was where...
Should we call Dustin Hoffman and ask him where he's been for the last few hours?
We could. Well, take care, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Oh, this is really something, folks. 520-333-4578. This is absolutely amazing. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
I want you to know that I admire you so much. I've listened to you for years. I'm calling from Hot Springs, Arkansas. That rings a bell.
Well, thank you.
And I just want to say God bless you and your radio program. You're the only way I know I'm getting the truth.
Well, God bless you, too, and thank you so much for those compliments.
And that's all I have to say. Arkansas has nice, concerned American patriots here also.
Yes, you do.
So, and I wish you all the merriest Christmas we can have at this time of year. Thank you for being there for us.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, too. 520-333-4578. Yes, Arkansas does have an awful lot of patriots, a lot more than William Jefferson Clinton knows about, I can assure you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Dave. And I just wanted to tell you, if this guy is going to try and plan anything long-term, watch the Maritime Union Halls tomorrow morning, because they'll be calling jobs for merchant seamen, New York, Norfolk, and Jacksonville. That's Fast Sea Lift Squad 1 out of Mayport. It takes them 24 hours to load an SL-7, and an SL-7 has a top speed of 33 knots. Maybe you have some connections with MSC.
Well, we'll certainly we'll look into that.
Okay. I'm sorry I called you at an inopportune time when Afterbirth was giving a speech.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Take it easy, Bill.
Thank you for calling. I can't believe you called him that name. I thought I was bad, but that's really bad. 520-333-4578. Is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. I've been trying for a long time to find you.
Well,
I think I finally found you.
Here I am.
I read your book, Behold a Pale Horse, several times. It's taken me a while to decipher all the information, but I wrote to you a few weeks ago, and your address had changed. I was going by the address in the book, and I need to know how I could get in touch with you by mail. Find out any more information you might have.
You got pen and paper?
Yes, sir.
Okay, write to the Hour of the Time.
Of the Time.
In care of 98.5 FM. That's in care of 98.5 FM, P.O. Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R. That's Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's 85925.
89525?
Nope. 85925.
925.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about what's going on in Iraq right now?
I just got off at 7 this evening. Somebody told me about what's going on.
What do you think about it?
Well, what I have to think about is probably a little bit more harsh than anybody else has called in. I think, you know, if this guy's such a big problem, he's such a threat to our safety, so-called, he should have been assassinated.
Well, that's if he was, he should have been. Instead of going in there and killed all these innocent people who have nothing to do with anything, they're just, you know, they're working at their jobs like people here in the United States are working at their jobs.
Yeah, this is just deplorable by Clinton. You know, he's in trouble, he knows it, and he's trying to, you know, deflect attention away from it. But have you read Gore's book?
Yes, I did. He blames everything in the world on Christians.
What?
Everything bad in the world that's ever happened, Al Gore blames on Christians.
Yeah, I don't want Clinton in there either, but...
I don't want either.
Clinton's the two evils. You get one out, you got another one.
Well, that's right. And Gore is worse than Clinton, I got to tell you right now. Gore is dangerous. Clinton is just a big baby who needs to be loved. No, we can't accept evil.
Yeah.
We cannot accept evil. There's no such thing as the lesser of two evils.
Yeah,
listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully. There's no such thing as a lesser of two evils. Evil, listen to me.
Yeah.
Please, don't interrupt me again, okay?
Okay.
There's no such thing as the lesser of two evils. Evil is a product of the devil. Whether you believe in the devil or not, there is an evil force in this world. Okay?
Oh, I totally agree.
So a deal with the devil is still a deal with the devil, whether it's a little deal or a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it.
I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to explain this stuff to people I work with. They don't read books. I think all they do is play video games and watch TV.
The whole nation has been dumbed down. If it's not on, that's why we have this television project.
Yeah, you know, since I graduated from high school in 82, I've learned more about true American history than I probably learned in 12 years of school. So,
they don't teach it anymore. Okay.
And, you know, find out more information. I mean, the first book, Behold a Pale Horse, it's a lot of detailed information. You know, it's kind of like reading the Bible. You had to read it several times to really grasp all of it, you know.
That's true.
And, I'm working through it and grasping, you know. And, I mean, I'm 99.9% of it, you know. I totally agree with you. But, you know, sometimes the way you wrote it in the book, sometimes I feel I'm probably a little bit more harsher than you in some ways.
Well, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to wake people up. And sometimes you got to reach out and slap them upside the head because being nice doesn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had a strong feeling for the last 2 years that something's going to happen here and people are just going to get mad and then... You see, when people are not voting, it means people are getting mad.
Yeah, they don't believe in the system, and they don't have any faith in it anymore.
Yeah, that's real close to a revolution.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's not a revolution. I hope it's a restoration of constitutional Republican government, of the foundation, the real law. No, not in your wildest dreams.
That's the biggest joke I ever heard.
Yeah, they call themselves Jeffersonian Democrats. Thomas Jefferson would just absolutely be so embarrassed by these people, he would foment a revolution to overthrow them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I just bought a shortwave a few months ago, and I wasn't really trying to find you, and I heard you one night, and I said, good God.
You need a good
antenna. I got your number.
You need a good antenna.
Sir?
You need a good antenna. The antenna on the radio is not good enough for any shortwave.
Yeah,
not
I
ever.
Need to get a better radio, I think.
No, no, listen to me.
Yes?
You need to get a better antenna.
Okay. Okay. It doesn't matter what.
No, you can have a $10,000 radio. If you've got just a little telescoping antenna on it, it's not going to be any better than the one you've got now. Go to Radio Shack. Go to Radio Shack. Tell them your problem.
Well, I got it.
Pardon?
That's exactly where I'm at.
Well, go back. Tell them your problem. Tell them you need a better antenna for your shortwave radio. Got to let you go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And this is WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
How's that?
That's better.
Good. I was wondering, are you still selling copies of your book, Behold a Pale Horse?
Yes.
Okay, so if we write in, could you give me the cost of how much they are per copy?
I can't do that because we're concurrently broadcasting on a nonprofit, non-commercial community service station.
However, if I do write into the address that you did give, I will be able to purchase one.
Yeah, you could call this number tomorrow afternoon and find out the price.
Good. I had another question. On the census, the year 2000 census that's going around, my understanding is that all we're required to do by law, by way of the Constitution, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is more or less give them the number of people that are there?
No, you're not required to do anything. It mandates the government take a census. It does not say that we have to participate or do anything.
Okay. Okay. My third question was, is that stock market, deflationary depression, inflationary depression?
Well, it's going to start out deflationary. We are in a recession. It's going to get worse. And then when all the fools panic over Y2K, the government's going to flood new currency into the banks, new Federal Reserve notes into the banks to the tune of $50 billion, and then everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket because throwing $50 billion into an economy that's already overweighted with credit and electronic debts and stuff, you know, money that doesn't even exist, but it's floating around in the form of credit cards and loans and electronic entries and things like that, inflation is going to spiral right out of sight.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Good evening.
Thank you for your call. Strange question. 520-333-4578 is the number. By the way, I've been in here doing this broadcast for the last hour and a half. Would somebody please tell me what's happening in Iraq now? What's going on? What is the mood of the nation here as well as elsewhere? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Hey, I've got to really compliment you on your first half hour tonight. I always love radio as theater of the mind and what you can do with it to kind of get the message across is great. And,
I need you to talk a lot louder.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if you heard the first part. I really appreciate your the first half hour of the show tonight was great with just the sounds of what's going on.
Thank you.
And we got a little dancing in last night.
Oh, good.
Yes. I don't know if we passed the test or not, though.
Well, if you got through every song dancing, and at the end of the song you were still standing up and did the next one, then you passed.
Hey, great.
And it means you're pretty healthy. But if you want to stay that healthy, you need to make sure that you're getting the nutritional supplements that you're not getting in your normal meals.
Well, we did call, but it was busy, 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 which is a good sign.
Well, call again tonight. It's probably not busy right now. The number is 1-888-403-2405. You got the number?
Yes. I had a question about a couple of the pieces of music you played tonight. Do you just kind of pick stuff at random, or are they kind of favorites of yours?
I've got more music around here than you would even believe in 100 years.
Mm-hmm. So I was just, that piano piece was really nice.
Yeah, I've got just about everything in the world to choose from.
Well, I wish there was a way to find out what the names of some of the stuff you were playing was.
Well, I don't know how to do that. It's not a music show. And I don't write them down. What I do is I write down selections by numbers, so I don't even know what they are.
Oh, well, they're great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. For those of you who participated in our little health test last night, if you couldn't get through last night, call tonight. The number is 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello there, Bill.
Hello.
Glad to hear you back. This is John in Colorado. I wrote you a long time ago.
Well, you know, I get thousands of letters all the time. I couldn't possibly...
The whole thing is, keep up the good work, guy.
Thank you. I'm trying.
You're a blessing to the nation.
Well, I certainly hope so.
The whole thing is, what I don't like, the next thing they're going to do is outlaw 13 steps and rope.
They're going to outlaw what?
13 steps and rope.
13 steps and rope?
Take 13 steps and a noose is not made out of rope.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Bill Clinton belongs.
I don't think that if the American people get angry enough that anybody's going to be able to outlaw those kinds of things.
Yeah,
I think ultimately, well, they can outlaw guns if they want to. They're not going to get them.
The whole thing
are you going to give them your guns?
A rope, right?
If they outlaw your guns, are you going to give them to them?
No, I'm going to give you some rope.
Well, get you some rope.
And 13 steps. That's where Bill Clinton belongs.
Well, I don't know about that. See, I believe in the law. I believe that we need a restoration of constitutional Republican government. And those
our forefathers do,
and those who are guilty
for just exactly what you're talking about, and I'm behind you 1,000%.
Those who are guilty of treason or of breaking the law in government, who have subverted and destroyed this country from within, should be arrested and tried by a jury of their peers. And they should suffer whatever punishment is lawful for the crime that they are found guilty of. And if they are found innocent, they should receive an apology, a pat on the back, and should be escorted home.
Go back and do your thing. But most of them down there are scared of Bill Clinton because he kills people that don't like him.
Well, I don't think he kills anybody. I think whatever power is behind him has killed a lot of people.
You got it. I'm on your side.
Okay.
I'm trying to distort anything you're saying. And I just heard you tonight on the radio, shortwave, and about 3 nights ago. And I'm glad you're back on. You're doing a good job. You're waking people up. Because they're starting to go out there and check this out.
Thank you.
See you later, Bill.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Cooper?
It's going as good as it can be, I guess.
Hey, let me turn my radio down here. Okay. Hey, to tell you the truth, this is the first time I've listened to you. I just got a shortwave and skimming through here and found you. And I want to say I like what you're doing. It sounds pretty good.
Well, thank you. Could you talk a little bit louder, please?
Certainly.
Thank you. That's better.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about my situation. I work for a natural foods wholesaler that is a name I'm not going to disclose. But we're getting a lot of business from the Y2K situation. And I was just wondering what your feelings are towards the whole thing.
Towards what whole thing?
Well, towards the whole computer crisis, whether or not you think it's going to be...
There isn't any computer crisis.
Well, that's what I'd like to think.
There isn't.
But I'm dealing with a lot of people every day who are putting a lot of money into the fact that they think there is.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being prepared for a possible disruption in the supply of food in the stores. But even if there is a disruption caused by somebody's computer problem, it won't last more than a few hours or 2 or 3 days.
Right.
So there is no reason for everybody to go off half-cocked and panic. There's no reason for all this hysteria. There's no reason for all the lies that are being propounded by all of these doomsday Y2K sayers. There's no reason for it whatsoever. And there are even people out there telling the biggest lies that I've ever heard. They talk about the 555 chip, and that it's a clock function, and that you can't change it out on the motherboards, so every computer's going to crash, and planes are going to fall out of the sky, and all this kind of stuff, and they're liars. They're bold-faced liars. The 555 chip is not a clock chip, has no clock function, does not recognize what time it is, doesn't care what time or date it is. All it is a computer metronome. It furnishes a beat. That's all it does.
Have you ever heard of Gary North?
Gary North is dead.
Gary North is dead?
Gary North is dead.
Well, what happened?
He died.
When was this?
All people die. Quite a while ago, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yes, he's dead.
Didn't know that. So is he one of the, quote, liars?
He's dead.
Was he one of the, quote, liars?
He was, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm just wondering. I'm not, you know.
He's not lying to anybody now. He's dead.
Yeah.
I would call him a deceiver. He was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. He's an Illuminist. He was functioning in the Hegelian dialectic to control the opposition to the New World Order to help bring it about.
Well, I was unaware of that.
Well, most people are unaware because they don't do any research. They just read what they like to hear and then, you know, they believe it.
Okay.
My admonition is listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it. Don't ask somebody else to prove it. You prove it.
Good advice.
Okie doke.
Fair enough.
Keep listening.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
See you.
520-333-4578. Y2K is not the problem. Y2K can be fixed. Y2K is just technology. That's all it is. There ain't no big mystery to it. Most computers have already been fixed. If you have a computer at home and you think you have a Y2K problem, plug in to Microsoft or Intel or whoever on the internet has the site for the chips and the software that you use. Download the little program and run it in your computer. In 2 seconds, your Y2K problem is fixed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I won't call you the other name like they called you before. Listen, I think our biggest concern is the compromising position that the Clinton administration has had with Red China. And by allowing the defense contractors to sell whatever weapons or whatever technology we got to Red China, wouldn't you think so?
Well, absolutely. But if you understand what's going on, if you understand that they're putting together a socialist, totalitarian world government under the United Nations, if you understand that both William Jefferson Clinton and Hillary Clinton are Marxist socialists, and if you understand that Karl Marx and V.I. Lenin both said that the ultimate goal of socialism is communism, then you understand why Bill Clinton and Red China are in bed together.
Khrushchev said, "We'll take over your country without firing a shot." I remember them distinct words to this day.
That's right, because Senator Joseph McCarthy was right. He was absolutely right.
He really was. I was behind him 100%, and at the time I was just a teenager going to school, going to high school.
Uh-huh.
I believed McCarthy then, I believe him to this day. And if they would have listened to him, and now even somebody, Senator Monahan from New York, even testified on one of these talk programs on TV about a month ago. He said everything McCarthy said was true.
Absolutely correct. He's been totally, 100%, completely vindicated. He's one of America's greatest heroes. He fell in the battle.
He certainly did. And the Spotlight newspaper, you ever read that?
I have read it from time to time, yes.
Well, the Spotlight had a story this week about Ken Starr. Some of his clients are communist Chinese. So he, and Hyde, Mr. Hyde, used to be my congressman for many years when I lived in Illinois. And we knew he was crooked. Couldn't even walk straight. He was so crooked back then, And Hyde and Hillary were mixed up in a bank savings and loan that Hyde controlled that missed $60 million and it turned up in Arkansas when Bill was governor. How do you like that? And they're the ones running the impeachment inquiry, the smoke and mirrors, baloney, and here they're right in with them.
Well, you may be right. We're going to find out, aren't we?
Did you hear another guy, he wrote a book called The Year of the Rat? Have you heard that one?
I've heard about it. I have not yet seen it.
Well, it's a gentleman that was in the Nixon and the Reagan White House in a position of power. I forget his name, but he wrote this book about Clinton and them now, And he said on TV, he says that Reagan and Bush would have never compromised and given away our military secrets to Red China like Clinton did,
Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, because Reagan and Bush, just like Clinton, were not the power that runs the White House.
Well, I realize that. And I think Bush actually turned the election because he was ordered to do so Clinton would get elected,
That's absolutely correct. He did not even campaign.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, when the Bilderbergers met and said that Bill Clinton would be the next president of the United States, well, I got on the radio and I told you, Bill Clinton's going to be the next president of the United States. George Bush won't even run. It's going to be a joke. And, if they think that there's enough conservative votes that Clinton's election will be in danger, they'll throw in a ringer to divide the conservative vote. The Republican Party. And the ringer was H. Ross Perot. How about that, folks?
it's coming from a field that just ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the silent night and day, from the fires and the horns, from the ashes of decay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
According to V.I. Lenin, democracy is indispensable to socialism. Karl Marx said, democracy is the road to socialism. Want to know what we need to do, folks? Impeach Bill Clinton. Impeach Al Gore.
To the shores of me, past the reefs of green, through the swamps of heat.
Impeach Bill Clinton. Impeach Al Gore. Impeach Bill Clinton. Impeach Al Gore. Right, impeach Bill Clinton and impeach Al Gore. Impeach both of them. They are both guilty of treason. This stuff about lying under oath is serious business. It is a felony. A felony is a high crime. Notice the Constitution says high crimes are misdemeanors. A misdemeanor is a traffic ticket. A misdemeanor is a traffic ticket. So what is all of this talk about a felony is not a high crime? It is a high crime. But that's not the highest crime they're guilty of. They're guilty of treason in their relationships with the communist Chinese. And if it's dug deep enough, you'll find a lot more than that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good evening, Bill. And the rest of America. Sorry that we're in this predicament, but we have bad people in our government. Yes, I would say we need to impeach both of them too for treason and high crimes. And you are right about the misdemeanors being no more than the traffic tickets. What I did want to bring up with you tonight is, did you notice that not only once this month, but twice, 60-minute program has been not charged with, but proven to run false stories? There was that one about the Vietnam veteran who
Uh-huh.
And also, there was also a story from Britain that they bought about drug running of immigrant-type people to Heathrow Airport. And, you know, it was proven, too, that that whole story was a lie. Okay, now I hear no one questioning 60 Minutes' credibility up and down. I mean, two stories in the last 2 years of things that they have proven that are outright lies. Have you heard of either one of those?
60 Minutes has been charged with that and has been exposed because of that every year since it started.
Yes.
This is not new. That's a trait. That's a hallmark. Of 60 Minutes.
Because the reception has been poor in our area lately, I haven't heard some of your topics.
Well, I'm not the one that exposed them. They've been exposed on national TV over and over and over again every year.
Yeah, but I was just wondering if maybe you had brought it up in the last couple weeks.
No.
Uh-huh.
No, it's a sheeple show anyway.
Well, I wouldn't.
Smart people would never watch 60 Minutes.
That's true. Did you hear about the Nobel Prize winner for literature, I think in 1990 or something?
What about it?
Well, she was basically an avowed Marxist, and it was all about her upbringing in Guatemala, how horrible she had it and everything. Basically, it was a soak the rich kind of a book.
Uh-huh.
And she won the Nobel Prize for literature that year, and she was exposed as making up the whole story.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Yes, as you told us before, the Nobel Prizes only go to socialists.
Well, it does. If you'll look at it, except for science, it only goes to socialists, especially the Peace Prize. It always goes to a Marxist every single year.
Did you see who won the prize for economics this year for the Nobel Prize?
No.
I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was an Indian, you know, the continent or the country of India economist. And his whole thing was the poverty or the economics of poverty.
There is no economics of poverty.
Exactly.
What is it that's so hard to understand? Poverty is when you don't have any money.
That's right. And that's it in a nutshell. But no, his whole thing was coming up with a new formula for redistribution.
Well, unfortunately, when you have redistribution, you have no opportunity.
That's
and
right.
So even if you could pull yourself up, you would never have the opportunity to do it. It's we'll pretend to work, you pretend to pay us, and the vodka factories will thrive.
You got it. Okay, thank you. Thanks a bunch.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. That does it, folks. Get on the phone. Get out your writing paper and your pen. Get on the Internet. Start yelling and screaming as loud as you can every chance that you get. Call every single radio talk show in America and keep hitting that redial button until you get through. And then demand that we pull our people out of Iraq, out of the Persian Gulf, back here for Christmas. And we don't want anybody else to be murdered by the United States of America. Do it. Do it or you're going to be sorry. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be sorry. The United States of America is killing innocent people right now as we speak, murdering them. And it's not the fault of the men and women who are firing the guns and dropping the bombs. They have been ordered to do it by their president. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Thank you.
been watching you for ages. You're like a boat without a mast, stripping the tide of destiny between the future and the past. I am a lightning.
You're listening to 98.5 FM Eager.